God. Serve a God who's worthy of our praise. Oh God. He's coming on the cloud.
He's coming on the cloud. Kings and kingdoms will bow down. And every chain will break. Broken hearts declare His praise. Oh, who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is a lion, the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. Every knee will bow before Him. And our God is a Lamb, the Lamb that was slain. For the sins of the world, His blood breaks the chains. Every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before Him. Oh, we worship You, God.
Open up the gate.
Open up the gates. Make way before the King of Kings. The God who comes to save is here to set the captives free. Oh, who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is a Lion, the Lion of Judah. Stop the Lord Almighty. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty?
No one.
Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord?
Oh, sing it out.
Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Sins of the world, His blood breaks the chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before Him.
Yes, God. Oh, every knee will bow, God. Lord, I just thank You tonight. Lord, I pray that there'll be a spirit of faith arising in us tonight, God. Lord, You're worthy of our praise, God. You go before us. Lord, we're not forgotten.
In my sorrow and dead in my sin, lost without hope, no place to begin. Your love made a way to let mercy come in. When death was arrested and my life began,
was redeemed, only beauty remains. My orphan heart is given me. My morning grew quiet, my feet rose to dance. When death was arrested, my life began. It's your grace, so free, washes over me. You have made me new now. Released from my chains, I'm a prisoner no more. Hey! My sin was a ransom, he faithfully bore. He canceled my debt and he called me his friend. Oh, that's when death was arrested and my life began. She's over me. You have made us new. Now life begins with you. Sing it out. It's your endless love pouring down on us. You have made me new. Savior displayed on a criminal's cross. Darkness rejoiced as though heaven had lost. But then Jesus arose with our freedom in there. Oh, that's when death was arrested and my life began. Walking around these walls, thought by now they'd fall. But you have never failed me yet. Waiting for change to come. God, I know, knowing the battle's won. Though you have never failed me yet. Promise still stands, God. Promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never failed me. Yeah. Never failed me. Yeah. I know the night won't. For your word will come to pass. It has to. My heart will sing your praise again. Jesus, you're still enough. No matter the situation, keep me within your love. Oh, my heart will sing praise again. Oh, the promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. The faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail. Still stands. Yes. Great is your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail me. Yet. Never fail me. Yet. Oh. Come to pass. Our eyes don't have to see what the Lord's doing. Our faith has to see it. Come on, lift him up. Oh, I've seen you move. You move the mountains, and I believe I'll see you do it again. You made a way where there was no way, and I believe I'll see you.
promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, your faithfulness.
You never fail.
I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail me.
The God who was and is to come, the power of the risen one, the God who brings the dead to life. You're the God of miracles. You're the God of miracles. Sing that out.
The one who was and is to come. Power of the risen one. He's the God who brings the dead to life. You're the God of miracles. You're the God of miracles.
One more time, come on, sing it out again.
He's the one who was and is to come.
Lord, you're worthy.
And the power of the risen one. Oh. To life, you're the God of miracles,
the God of miracles.
I believe in you, I believe in you. You're the God of miracles,
you're the God of our breakthrough, Jesus.
I believe in you, I believe in you. You're the God. I believe in you.
No matter your situation, just raise your hands and praise God till you see it come to pass. For He's faithful now. He's been faithful and He always will be.
God says we're not done.
It's not over. That's the word from the Lord. It's not over. What you're seeing now is just the beginning. He's got so much planned for you. Just praise Him. Oh, I see Him.
I see Him move. Still.
I would ask you to just kind of lift up. How about that? Yeah. Let's lift our voice right now and begin to thank God that He's already working on that thing right now. Just go ahead. I call it presumptuous praise. Would you just presume that God is going to work on this? Come on, I dare you to just go ahead and just presume ahead of time. I believe, thank you, Lord, you're already moving the mountain, already situating the situation. You're already straightening the crooked place, bringing up the low thing. You're tearing down the mountains. Come on, begin to thank Him like He's already working in front of you. In the name of Jesus, I pray, God, not one ounce of fear is allowed to remain in any heart, in any mind, in any thought of anybody in this meeting tonight. I pray if anybody walked in with a measure of fear, they walk out with 5 times more faith. Hallelujah. And give us the victory, we pray in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say amen. You know, the Bible says that a father brought his son tormented by a demon to the disciples. And the disciples couldn't do anything with the boy. And the father was smart enough not to stop. The father said, yeah, I took him to the people, but they couldn't do anything with him. Now I'm going to bring him to you. You can do all you can. I'm going to tell you, the greatest place you can go to with any situation is directly to the Father. Amen. You've got access to Him tonight if you'll take advantage of it. So, Lord, I pray that you'll move like a mighty rushing wind in the midst of us tonight. Let something continually happen that started this morning be completed tonight. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen. Amen and amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you. Wonderful worship. Let's worship the Lord in our giving tonight. Ushers, come quickly and let's give to the Lord and believe that God is going to honor our gifts to Him tonight. And we thank God for His faithfulness. How about a good amen? Was that not a most powerful service that we experienced here this morning? What a great meeting. Those testimonies were priceless. Our God is alive. Our God is real. These are not figments of our imagination. These are not stories. These are the realities that God does these kind of things. And He'll do it for you if you let Him. Amen? How many are in a position you could use some of the activity of God in your life? Amen. Both of you will receive it tonight. You're reaching for your wallet. I'm asking you too many things at once, so I ought to know better. But let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing on our gifts. Lord, we thank you that the sowers have seed tonight. You promised. You promised if we would become in the giving position, you'd always give us something to give. So once again, Lord, because of our ability, we prove you faithful again. So I pray that your blessing be upon what we're giving. It's not a gift given to a nonprofit, but God, help us to know these are gifts given directly to you. So we expect the return to come from your end as well. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen and amen. God bless you tonight. Thank you. In your giving tonight, let me just mention real quick, is this coming Saturday is the Elevate Barbecue at Tim Elsenheimer's at 2 o'clock. This coming Sunday is Pens and Pencils Day. We got all these backpacks, but these aren't even all the backpacks. There are more backpacks somewhere hidden in a backpack safe out back somewhere. So do that. Pens and Pencils, can't wait for the ladies to take all these supplies to the schools. And then on September the 2nd is our back to school prayer time. Every child gets prayed for. We, the staff and board, lay our hands on every student, child, right up through college age. And then we're having the back to school bash that afternoon with all kinds of games and fun, free lunch. The meal is on us. Well, it's really you. You paid for it. But it feels like it's on us, all right? Well, how many know somebody's going to get a free meal? Go ahead and raise your hand if it's you. No, I'm just teasing. I don't want to. How many already know you've paid for your meal? Oh, about half the church gives. I'm just teasing you. I'm messing with you tonight. Would you open your Bibles? Thank you, musicians. I know you want me to sing, but I'm saving my voice for Nashville. If I ever fly through there, I'm going to sing in the airport. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. While I'm going there, I want all of the freshmen that have come to join us at Faith Bible College International to get up on your feet as quick as possible. I mean, so fast you get a head rush. All the freshmen, stand, stay standing. They're not all here. They're on their way. But they come to us from Northern Maine, Brownville, Maine, Northern Maine, Eastern Maine, India. What part of India are you from, Johnston? Bangalore. I watched a thing on television this afternoon on the Asian leopard. They're not to be messed with. Yeah, I'm telling you right now, don't mess with an Asian leopard. Yeah, no, I mean the Indian leopard. Have you ever seen a leopard there in Bangalore? I watched a guy get attacked on Netflix today. He looked just like you with a mustache. And he was attacked. Hey, there's Josue from Spain. Santander, Spain is here. My wife and I got to meet his precious parents, their pastors, at a conference we spoke at in Spain last winter, and he's here this fall. 35 hours of traveling. Oh, I know you traveled 40 minutes to church. Big deal. He traveled 35 hours. And there's Mr. Aho, A-H-O, from Pittsburgh, Massachusetts. Brother, I forgot what African country you're from.
From Kenya.
From Kenya. Evans from Kenya. Are you the one that got robbed over and over again on the way here? How much money was taken from you on the way here?
$400.
Some jerks picked him up at the airport and they said, "You want a ride?" And they told him it would cost $400. And the bus ticket actually cost $40. And they robbed him. So they're probably dead now, Evans. All right. Guy in the pink shirt. Is it Daniel? From Rhode Island? No, from Perth Amboy, New Jersey. And there's my buddy from New Hampshire, Dover, New Hampshire? Close enough, it's in New Hampshire. All right, you're in the Northeast. There's Hannah, and then there's, where are you ladies from? Just shout out where you're from. Charlestown, New Hampshire. Where? Augusta, okay. Rhode Island, Connecticut, I know that. Augusta, back there? Fiji? No, VZ, sorry. I just teased it. I heard you the first time. Exeter? Yeah, that's awesome. And then there's four church of, see those four girls? They're Church of God girls. So they're very special. They're Church of God girls. Come on, welcome all of the freshmen. You can be seated. I was a lot better to you than any other freshman class. I did not embarrass you. Well, not as much as those. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you're there, go ahead and let's stand one more time. I know you're seated, but I like standing for God's word. I think my brother-in-law is here. Did I see Lauren come in? I know I saw Lauren come in. Are you here, Lauren? There's Lauren, right back there. Everybody look back at Lauren. Wave at us, Lauren. He's sitting with his sister. That's Malcolm's son and Sonia's. Praise God. Praise God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. There's just so much that God is doing. I wish I could say it all right now, but it won't be long. I know that God's up to something good in Charleston. God's up to something good all over the state of Maine. Amen. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 says, "There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit." We talked about that last week. The word of wisdom is a gift when God begins to tell you to do something that will change or in light of your future. The second gift we'll talk about is tonight, a word of knowledge through the same Spirit. Holy Spirit, make real to us these spiritual truths in your name. Everyone said amen. You can be seated. God bless you. So if you're just coming in, I'm in the bit of a series, this thought, this theme, this idea that God has given on the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And the concept, the overall concept is no longer should the church be praying, "God, please move, move, God, please." What we ought to be understanding is God is in heaven saying, "Church, move, move. Please, church, do something," because God has already given us all the power we need to get done on the earth what He wants accomplished. What we've got to learn to do is access what He's already doing. And so God doesn't like different climates, different cities, different towns, different races of people any better than others. Where God moves are a people who know how to access His power. How many want to be those kind of people that know how to access? Your family wants you to, and our community needs us to. And so here's an illustration that the Lord put in my heart and mind this week on this. So one of the great blessings of living where most of us live is we have water that comes from the earth. Not a chlorine center. Well water is what I'm trying to say. Well water. And when you get a well, you drill the well because you need water where you live. And then you run a system from the well to your house and then different access points throughout your entire house. And so if you came to our house and you wanted to wash your vehicle, we wouldn't say, okay, well, there's the well. Go get some water out of the well. If you came to our house and you said, man, I really like to wash my hands, we wouldn't say, hey, there's the well, go wash your hands. If you came to our house and you said, I'm thirsty, we wouldn't say, oh, okay, there's some water at the well, go ahead and get a drink at the well. You know what we'd say? We'd say, the house has been built to supply what you need. Now, the source is the well, but where you access it is at the house. And so if you want to wash your vehicle, sure, we've got a spigot over here. Here's a hose. Wash your vehicle. You want to wash your hands? Come on, we have a bathroom or two. You can wash your hands. Oh, you're thirsty? Come on over here to the sink or the refrigerator and get some water to drink. I think that we've got to understand that we want God to get involved in our community, but we want the community to go to the well. When God said, don't ask them to go to the well, everything that's in the well is found in the church. So if we are to be the church that God called us to be, any thirst that anyone has in our area ought to be able to come to the church, and there ought to be people that are connected enough to God to supply the spiritual nourishment that's required for our generation. Not for the 70s, not for the 50s, not for the 90s. Right now, there is a supply of the Spirit. And it's available if we'll access it. But it's not just for us. It's the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is not just for us. It is through us, but it is intended for people that come into contact with us. And so God begins to basically tell you all of the different rooms that you can get the supply. And here one is the word of wisdom, speaking about your future. The second is the word of knowledge. And I thought of it this way. If there are more gifts of the Spirit than 1 Corinthians 12, however, if you were to take the 9 gifts of the Spirit, Nate, and you were to put them in a puzzle, if you put all 9 gifts of the Spirit together, you would have a perfect picture of Jesus. You could not know. Now, if I'm wrong, it's okay. You could literally not know anything else in the Bible about Jesus, and if you took the 9 gifts of the Spirit, you'd have a perfect picture of what Jesus does. So in other words, the Lord is just kind of speaking to me as I'm speaking to you. If we had all 9 gifts, 9 tools, 9 weapons of the Spirit, we literally could present a clear picture of Jesus to the people. When we begin to flow in all of the gifts, we will begin to present all of who Jesus is. And I would say that we cannot accurately present Jesus without them. We can present ideas, we can put words to songs, nothing wrong with all that, but the reality of Jesus is visibly seen in all 9 gifts. A word of knowledge is interesting because it doesn't just make you smart, because some of you have that gift. Some have that gift. But this then, if knowledge is common, I think, then this gift is a knowledge of something that you could never know on your own. A word of knowledge is not something that you've gained out of reading the Encyclopedia Britannica or Wikipedia for everybody else that's under 45. A word of knowledge is a download of information that in a lifetime you never would have known, but God tucked it in there. How many of you'd like to know some stuff you'd never known by any other reason but by God showing it to you? And I'll tell you why you want a word of knowledge. See, it's specific. A word of knowledge can tell you your blood type, your address, your mother's name. It is supernaturally revealed information. Knowledge is provable. A word of wisdom is not provable because it has the future in mind. But a word, I'm saying something, a word of knowledge is provable. If I walk up to you and say, your name is Matilda, you'll pull out your purse and your license and there it says, Matilda. It can be proven. Why does God give us the word of knowledge? Because I think that it is way too hard for people to get saved nowadays. Because in essence, when we don't have the gifts and the activity of the Spirit, we're asking people to come to God in blind faith. We should not expect people to come to God with blind faith. We should have so much evidence people come to God with an open-eyed faith. I'm pushing the limits here, but I want you to be pushed a little bit. Nobody should ever come to church and wonder if God is alive. They should walk out whether they believe it or not and say, there is a God. I either serve Him or I don't. But I think tired Christians, I think weary believers, I think spiritless church attenders are satisfied to say, well, it's blind faith. But that was never God's will. The Bible says, with many facts and testimonies, Jesus made Himself known. If He did that back in the book of Acts and nobody questioned His reality, how about now? Don't you want your children to be in a church that they are as sure that Jesus is alive as the lights are on? I could stop and preach that all night long because it is a culturally accepted idea. Well, you just have to have faith. You do have to have faith, but you ought to have something to have faith in. When I heard Robert's and Holly Thompson's testimony in that baptismal tank, I'm telling you, I don't have to wonder if there's a God. I look at them and I know from my chinny chin chin, there is a God right there that worked and saved their lives. You didn't hear 20% of the testimonies of the people that went into that tank today for time's sake. But if I were to list every single one of them, how many of you are here today? There is no way you could ever have a doubt that there is a God. You have been so assured of it. Why can't everybody else have that experience? Why can't everybody else say, I mean, they cannot ever walk out and say there's no God, but they've just got to decide whether they'll serve Him. What we need are some ministers who aren't just good at platform performance. That's entertaining. What we don't need is more entertainment. What we need is impartation and a demonstration that God is alive. Come on, somebody. Praise Him like you believe He's alive. One of the greatest exercises of the word of knowledge, I hope that it burns, I hope that you want a word of knowledge gift in your life more than anything when we leave tonight, is in John chapter 4, when Jesus meets the woman at the well. Verse 3, if you want to go there, says that He left Judea, Jesus departed again to Galilee, and He needed to go through Samaria. So He came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of the ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore, being wearied from His journey, sat by the well, and it was the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. And the woman of Samaria said to Him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Stop right there. There were so many barriers that were stood between Jesus and this woman. There was a racial barrier. There was a gender barrier. There was a spiritual barrier. And there was a socioeconomic barrier. All barriers, not one of them built by God. All of them built by man. If you're going to flow in the word of knowledge, you must destroy the barriers that mankind has built to make you think certain people can't be blessed, certain people are not as... There are people in this church who genuinely believe they're better than other people that come into these walls. I say, Lord, humble them, do something. Nobody's better than anybody in this planet. There must be no superiority in the mind of a believer who ever thinks they're going to flow in a word of knowledge. I look around and I've just been sensitive. There are literally people, they're rich and they're poor, who literally think they are better than the people that come here. I pray the Lord humbles them real quick. Okay, verse 19, verse 10. And Jesus said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, give me drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Stop. You've heard this preached before if you've gone to church more than 4 months. He's not offering her salvation. Does anybody still believe you need to interpret the Bible accurately to know what it will should be believed? Watch. Verse 11. And the woman said to him, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? And Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of that water that I shall give will never thirst. But the water I shall give will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Stop right there. Now, if you know anything about this woman, she's not a woman that's known to have a great reputation. And you'll find out if you've not read it. But Jesus shows us the first principle of how to activate the gift of the word of knowledge. Are you ready for this? Again, it goes back to that barrier. He addresses the fact that she's an immoral woman, but she's not a bad woman. She's just a thirsty woman. I really wish I could preach the conclusion of my message to show you how important it is that you get the first part of the message, because what I'm preaching to you has more relevance now than ever before. Now watch. He knows that she's a woman who has no reason to be called into the ministry and to do something for him. She ends up being one of the greatest evangelists in the days of Jesus. And he immediately starts talking to her, not about sin, not about bondage, not about right or wrong. He immediately addresses her thirst issue. Why? She's not a bad person. She's a thirsty person. Until we start seeing people for who they are, we will never flow in a word of knowledge. I'm going to preach. I don't have time tonight, but I will just give you a teaser. We must not treat weak people like they're wicked, or we'll crush them. And we must not treat wicked people like they're weak, or they'll crush us. There is a galaxy of difference between weak people and wicked people. And many churches destroy weak people. Okay, I haven't got time for that, but another day. There's a few more Sundays I'll be preaching here. See, when your thirst, if your thirst stays long enough, it turns into pursuit. Your pursuit will lead you into sin, and sin will become your snare. Thirst becomes pursuit. Pursuit leads to sin. Sin becomes a snare. I'm going to rewind the tape. Thirst becomes your pursuit. Pursuit leads to sin, and sin leads to a snare. I'm going to see if you got it. It is your becomes a, which leads to a, which becomes a. And if all of our Christianity is to beat people up for the snare they're in, it never fixes the problem. That kind of ministry is for lazy Christians. Well, blah, 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 blah. You preach against sin, you preach against immorality, you preach against fornication, you preach against adultery, you preach against thievery, you preach against hatred, you preach against all these things. But if that's all we preach against, there is no freedom from the snare, because what got them to the snare was the thirst. And all religion can do is diagnose the snare, but the Holy Ghost goes back to the thirst and says, let's change it, and let's get a godly thirst, which produces a holy pursuit, which produces acts of righteousness that leads you into blessing. You can keep your dead, traditional, old-time religion because it doesn't meet today's snare. But let's get back old-time power and bring it into our generation and deal with the heart, not the style. Look what Jesus does. He's not immediately going to her sinful lifestyle. He's addressing her thirstiness inside of her. Ladies and gentlemen, you have no right to look down on somebody that you have not gotten on your knees first. You have no right to turn your nose up and quit sharing information about the past of people in our community. Keep that to yourself and start praying for people instead of talking about people. Well, I'm just sharing. No, you're not sharing. You're destroying. We've got to get back to say, I love that old song. You can talk about me all you please, but I'm going to talk about you down on my knees. If we'll bring the needs of people to God privately, He'll give us the supply to free them publicly. That's what this church is about. Mercy, verse 15. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come." Did you see what she, that's what I've been wanting. All along, that's really what she was longing for. But because, let me move on. And Jesus said, go call your husband and bring him here. So, we're dealing with thirst that leads to a snare. And now Jesus is going to reveal the snare. And he uses the gift of knowledge, and he says, the reason you're in this thirsty position and you're not satisfied is you're in a problem. And watch what happens here. Sir, give me this water that I might not thirst. And then he says, go call your husband. Weird, huh? How many of you husbands have ever been in an intense conversation with your wife? And you tried to change the subject. Three of us. The rest of you are so whipped you can't even raise your hand. You just... No, just watch this. Because Jesus is like, he's an incredible interrogator. She says, give me some water. He says, get your husband. I wrote it down this way. You can answer the question if you can change the subject. Because the subject was thirst. And all she could get was hurt. In other words, Jesus is about to open the box with a word of knowledge. He starts with letting her know, I know that you're thirsty. Then he says a word of knowledge, I know what you're going through. Verse 17, the woman answered, said, I have no husband. And he said, well, you've said I have no husband. You have five husbands. And the one whom you have now is not your husband, in that you spoke truly. And the woman said, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. Isn't that awesome? You ever been talking to someone and they just straighten right up? He's not asking her for a date. He's reading her mail. See what happened? What a word of knowledge just ran like a Hall of Fame linebacker through a Pee Wee football defensive line. A word of knowledge ran through every level of suspicion and got beyond all the arguments and went right to her heart. And said, you can say all you want, you can talk about all these things, but here's the real situation. Verse 20, our fathers worshipped on this mountain. You Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. Stop right there. I believe that the word of knowledge, obviously, is incredibly impactful to reach the backslider. This woman is not an atheist. This woman is not an agnostic. This woman has a very strong education and experience with religion and worship and God. But because her thirst went into a pursuit that led to sin, that got her in a snare, she had gotten away from God. And I believe that her heart was open for God to do a new thing in her. And the way to get her quickly ushered into a brand new walk with God is for a word of knowledge to run right through there and say, God knows where you are. God knows where. My wife is very good at this. We'll go to a restaurant, and it is not uncommon for her, before we leave that table, my wife to turn and say something to her, and that waitress just melt like wax, having no idea who we are, and my wife operate in a word of knowledge. You know, sometimes we want all these gifts in the church when we really need them outside the church. And at a dining room table, have a waitress just start tears running down her face. We were at what's that seafood place? Anglers. And I remember my wife pulling this waitress to the side. I wanted to say to the waitress, you're wrecked for the rest of the day. I wanted to say, you might as well check out, because you're about to have the water faucets are about to turn on. And I turn around, and I was a prophet. I'm standing there. I've already paid the bill, and my wife is talking. I'm like, I'm going in the car. I'm going to turn on sports radio. You just do your thing in there. I didn't come here for ministry. I came here for meat. She had a different intention. I'm going to tell you, friends, ladies and gentlemen, I'm being a little hard, because I like to kick over holy cows. I find it's too pleasurable for me to find a holy cow in the church and tip it over. But I will tip them all over until they're all tipped over. But I'm going to tell you, now that I've tipped a few cows and made a few people mad, I will tell you this. The world is craving to know that God knows where they're at. And if you can tell somebody a bit of information you could have never have known, it brings the fear of God in the backslider, in the sinner, and they begin to realize there is a God out there that knows where I am today. Oh God, let the word of knowledge fall fresh in the church again, so that hurting people can know there is a God. Let the word of knowledge flow in this church so rich, and I'm not against people sitting in the back row, but that every sinner would want to sit in the back row, because they feel the fear of God. I don't want people to stay away from the church because their mail is going to be read, but I want people, when they come to church, to have the fear of God, to know that God knows. Let the fear of God cover this platform. So if any joker thinks they're going to come up here and live in sin and get on the platform, let the fear of God make them get sick and have diarrhea before they get here. That's what a word of knowledge will do. It won't make people run away from church, but it'll make them, when they get in church, say, there is a God. I think I better do this thing right. Word of knowledge. I was watching Brother Shuttlesworth. I was watching Brother Shuttlesworth live stream this week. He does a tent meeting at Parkersburg, West Virginia. And he brought this man down. He had Dickies, coat, looked like a farmer. And Brother Shuttlesworth just walked up to him and he said, look, the Lord shows me that you had a list of things that you were writing down, and it was with a black pen, but the black pen ran out of ink. And so you grabbed your writing utensil. It was a carpenter's pencil. And the guy's like, is this your wife? Yes, bring your wife up here. You have a drawer. You've been looking at a house, and you have a drawer in your kitchen, and it's full of pamphlets on houses. And she was on the ground. I watched Brother Shuttlesworth over here. A woman stood up in the service, and he said, and God was speaking to you at this time of the other morning, and you had a bathrobe, and it was green. And she went, I think it kind of creeped her out, like. Word of knowledge. Word of knowledge. Nate can tell you. He told me about when he was at a church. It was hard. I think it was it was somewhere in Europe, in the Netherlands. I mean, he was in a service. This woman was a hard atheist, and all of a sudden, God gave him word of knowledge about her life. And this woman, who was a hardened atheist, tears began to roll and gave her life to Christ. You don't have to put on a movie. You don't have to have a play. You can just get up and give a word of knowledge, and it'll automatically run right to the heart of that person and tell them God knows where you're at. I got to move on. Verse 21, Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you'll neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship for salvation of the Jews, but the hour is coming now is that true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. I don't know why she was there, but all I know is that Jesus knew. Verse 24, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know the Messiah is coming, who's called the Christ. When he comes, he'll tell us. I'm just telling you, she was just simply a backslider. Verse 26, Jesus said, I who speak to you am he. At this point, the disciples came and marveled and talked with the woman, and no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why are you talking with her?" And the woman left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men, "Come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" They went out of the city and they came to him. One, please hear this. Are you ready? Are you ready? One word from God took her from a condition of misery to being a leader in a city. Are you ready? I'm going to close this up because it's hot. But let me just say this. One word from God can change everything in a person's life. One word from God can take you through 12 steps and 8 counseling sessions in one altar service and change everything in your life. One word from God. Sure. Put yourself through all the pain and anguish and meetings if you've got time. Or you can just say, "Lord, speak to me. Let the voice that made the heavens and the earth speak to me. Let the voice that made the birds to fly and the fish to swim speak to me and change my life forever." One word from God. Say that with me. One word from God can change everything. Do you have anything that you need in your life changed? I pray that somebody will stir up a word of knowledge and share it with you. What happens is when there's a word of knowledge revealed, I'm done, musicians come when is revealed, it shows the recipient Jesus knows everything. We had a gentleman at the school with us this week that you know, and Justin, and many of you know him as the guy that does the comedy, but God has used Justin in a mighty way. When he told me this story, I said, "That's my ending illustration for Sunday night. I got to share that." Now, how many of you remember Justin Fennell, the comedic guy? They call him humorists. And he said that he took a mission trip to Ecuador. He told all the staff this, and he said he took one guy who was a big guy from West Virginia, just a massive of giant, and he said he wasn't very bright. And that wasn't good. So the guy said to Justin, "I really want to learn how to say something in Spanish." So Justin said, "You need to learn these words. ¿Dónde está el baño?" How am I doing, Josue? Don't say what it is. ¿Dónde? Like, I was going to use this, then I realized there's a Spanish guy here, and this is kind of intimidating, but ¿dónde está el baño? So the big man started saying, "¿Dónde está el baño?" Yes, what does that mean? It means praise the Lord. It means praise the Lord. If you're like me, you don't know what it means. It means, where is the bathroom? So the service got going, and the big guy got feeling the Spirit in this church in Ecuador. So he went down the front of the church, and he lifted both of his hands and started saying, "¿Dónde está el baño? ¿Dónde?" And he really started feeling the Spirit, and he started hollering, "¿Dónde está el baño? ¿Dónde está el baño? ¿Dónde es?" And these two little Spanish women come up and took him and walked him outside the church to the bathroom. He was literally hollering, "Where is the bathroom? Where is the bathroom?" I'm never going on a mission trip with Justin Fennell. That's a word of knowledge right there. But then Justin said, as they were standing at the end of one of the services, he had a word of knowledge that there was to be an altar call and there was somebody that needed to come to Christ that night. And when that altar call took place, a woman came up and reached into her purse and pulled out two hand grenades and put them on the platform and gave her life to Christ. What they had found out was one of the guys in Justin's team was a former MS-13 gang member. And because it was so hot, he didn't wear a long sleeve, and they saw the tattoo on his arm. MS-13 found out that he was there and he had left the gang. And they assigned that girl to find him. And she had intended to take those two hand grenades with her on the bus that he got on with Justin's ministry team and kill the man. But instead of taking those two hand grenades and killing the man and the ministry team, she gave her life to Jesus Christ. That's what a word of knowledge will do. It won't get you a lot of attention. It won't get people all wound up and frenzied, you know, and in whatever godless emotionalism. But it will change somebody's life. How many of you want the word of knowledge to be flowing through this church like it has never flowed before? Would you stand together with me? And let us just open our hearts. Let's open our mouths. And let's just begin to pray. First of all, would you thank God that He knows everything about you? Would you? All over this place. Would you begin to thank God with me? Lord, I'm grateful You know everything. You know the numbers of the hairs on our head. Lord, if You count the sparrows, how much more do You care for us? Come on, somebody begin to thank God for His omniscience right now. Begin to thank God that He knows the big things. He knows the small things. Come on, let's lift our voice. Begin to praise Him. You don't have to have a song. You've got enough to thank Him for. Thank You, Lord. You already know every detail of my life. You know every need that I carry. You know every challenge that I face. You know every situation that I'm handling. You know every dilemma. You know every decision. You know every setback. You know every burden. Oh, God, thank You that I am not out of Your vision and I'm not off Your mind. Come on, begin to thank God. While He was on the cross, You were on His mind. Thank God that He's interceding for you right now. If the lily of the field doesn't spin or toil, then why should you? He is faithful, and He knows where His children are. He knows where His daughters are. He knows where His sons are. He knows where His people are. Come on, begin to thank God. Great is His faithfulness to us tonight. Go ahead, take a few minutes. Begin to thank God. Let it roll. Praise Him. Praise Him. That's beautiful. Praise Him. Praise Him. Come on. Thank Him. We glorify Your name. Well, come on. Let's just take a praise break. I feel I've been giving you a lot of word. Just begin to magnify Him. Magnify Him. Magnify
Him. Is a fountain.
Sing it.
Who is a king? Victorious warrior and the Lord of everything. My rock, my shelter, my very own, blessed Redeemer who reigns upon the throne. There is a fountain.
Yes, Lord.
Who is a king, victorious warrior, and Lord of everything. My rock, my shelter,
my very own,
blessed Redeemer who reigns upon the throne.
Sing with hands lifted up, sing. There is a fountain,
there is a king,
victorious warrior,
and He's Lord of everything.
My rock, my shelter,
my very own,
blessed Redeemer, You reign upon
the throne. Come on, one more time. He's worthy to be honored tonight.
There is a fountain. Who is a king? A victorious warrior and Lord of everything.
My rock and shelter.
My very own. Blessed Redeemer who reigns upon the throne. Who can satisfy my soul like You?
Yeah, Lord.
Who on earth can comfort me and love me like You do? Who could ever be more faithful and true? I will trust in You. I will trust in You, my God. There is a fountain.
Yeah.
Who is a king?
victorious warrior and Lord of everything. My rock, my shelter, my very own.
Blessed be God who reigns upon.
For you are great, you do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. You are great. You do miracles so great. There is
no one else like you.
There is no one else. You are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you, for you are great. You do miracles, so miracles, so great. There is no one like you.
All right, do you get the power that resides in one activation of the gift of the word of knowledge? Can change an entire city. That woman from Samaria ran to her city and said, come see a man who told me everything about me. I don't see that he told her everything about her. He didn't say how tall her husbands were. He didn't say where she went to school. He didn't say what kind of job she had. The only thing that he spoke to was the source of all the pain. And when he addressed the source of all the pain, she, in essence, said, he changed everything about my life with one word of knowledge. And that one word that changed her led her to preach, and it changed the city. I wonder who would be reached by the hundreds that are here tonight if 20% used a word of knowledge this week. Thank you that you're here. I'm so glad you're here. But don't treat this one like all of the other Sunday nights you've been to. Because one word can change everything. One word can change everything. And I feel the heartbeat of God that He so longs to share with people that are broken, that are hiding. They're hiding their secrets. Do you realize how many secrets are keeping people bound? We are living in a world of secrets. And it's not the culture that's keeping people from God. It's their secrets. But isn't it beautiful when the Holy Ghost gets moving? He finds ways to deal with people's secrets without shaming them. He deals with their secrets and elevates them for their own good. How many are ready for the devil's darkness to flee? And for the secrets to be exposed, not to shame or in guilt, or I mean embarrass people, but exposed as far as removed from somebody's life. That woman said, that one man said one thing to me on one area, but it changed every area of my life. I don't know about you, but I want God to share those kind of things with me. How many of you want God to share those kind of things with you? Holy Spirit, I pray right now that there'll be a word of knowledge for everybody in this place. They don't need, I'm not against those people. They don't need a shrink. They don't need a counselor. They don't need 20 steps so that somebody can charge them more money. They need a word from you. Hallelujah. Lord, give a word to me. Lord, give a word to these people. One word will set us free. One word will cause a revival. One word will restore a heart. One word will restore a marriage. One word will restore a body. One word from you, Lord. Come on, somebody thank God that He's going to do that for you in the mighty name of Jesus. One word, let me just stop. My wife preached powerfully this morning, but there were moments that she was preaching, I could tell she got off script a little bit, and it was like a word of knowledge was coming through her. She was speaking to people that she didn't know she was speaking to. A word of knowledge. word of knowledge for somebody. A secret that's been held, holding you down is about to be destroyed, and God's going to tell you. I talked to a man this morning after service, a grown man, a hardworking man, physically a hardworking man, just incredibly tough. But God told me one word to share with him, and that hard man just began to break. He said it was like tons of burden just lifted off his life. One word can change everything. People that are open receive it. But I believe that God wants you to share a word with somebody this week. Now let's get real practical. That can be intimidating for you. Now, God's not going to share one word with you so that you can be superior. He's not going to share one word with you to embarrass. He's not going to share one word with you so you can get even with somebody. You know, your boss is correcting you. Well, I just got a word of knowledge. That's not the time. Save it when you got a raise. Then it's okay, all right? But there's something about being supernaturally natural. John, you can just walk right up to somebody this week. God's going to give you a word of knowledge. I thought you were down there. God, you're just going to walk up to somebody, and you're not going to say, the Lord says. You're not going to tremble. You're going to walk right up to them, and you're going to say, you know, that thing that happened in your childhood, I'm just saying exactly, that thing that happened in your childhood when you were four at that place, I just want you to know that wasn't God, that was the devil. And you'll watch that person's defenses will absolutely get destroyed in the name of Jesus. How many of you would let God use you that way? Oh, you better be bold. You better accurate, compassionate, be yourself. But every person that says, I want God to use me as a witness with a word of knowledge. I want to know. And it doesn't have to be somebody's address and zip code. But just something simple. You know what? I can just tell right now that you're full of fear. And that unchurched person will say, whoa. And guess what will happen? It'll open the door for you to share Jesus with them. I want every person that says, Lord, I want to be a candidate to be used. Be real now. In a word of knowledge. Just come and stand around this altar. I'm going to pray God gives you a fresh anointing. And then we're going to go home and drink something cold. Water from your house. Jesus. That's it. Korabasi. Speak to us, Lord. Speak to us, Lord. This isn't just for backsliders. You could be telling a child, a parent, a friend, a neighbor, a relative, a fellow church family member. But God, share something with me that I didn't study. Share something with me that I didn't just make up. Share information that can change a situation. Now, let me just give you a couple hints before we go into prayer. Number one, I flow better when I'm in the word of knowledge, when I'm in the word greatly. If you want to know how God speaks, get in what God wrote. Okay? If you can get in God what God wrote, you'll become familiar with what He says. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Just begin to speak as the Holy Spirit gives you that prayer language, as my wife mentioned this morning. 3, make sure that you're clear of all bitterness. Okay? Make sure God uses clean vessels the easiest. Sometimes dirty vessels will be used in a gift, but it can be very, it's like a rusty knife. It's a knife, but it's a rusty one. People get spiritual tetanus when dirty vessels use their gifts. So get clean of all bitterness. Okay? You don't have time to keep score. That's a word from the Lord for somebody tonight. You don't have the energy to keep score. Just forget it. You got a duck's back. I say that in a good way. Let it roll right off your back. Walk in a lot of love. Get in the Word. Pray in the Holy Ghost and walk in a lot of love. Now, let us pray together. Let's lift our hands as a sign, as a receptacle to God. And I'm going to pray that the anointing of the gifts of the Spirit will come upon you in the name of Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, I pray that you will speak to good men and women. We're not in the world's eyes special. We're not in the world's eyes uncommon. We're in the world's eyes average people. But God, we serve you, and you're an above average, uncommon God. And I pray for the men and women in this place. young and aged, parents and grandparents and great-grandparents and children will speak, Lord. You spoke a word of knowledge through a donkey, then you can speak a word of knowledge through us. Lord, I pray that we will have such clarity and precision. I pray, Lord, we'll be our love and our compassion. It's not only what we say, but how we say it. We'll be a convincing witness, and somebody's faith will come back alive, and somebody's faith will come back into being, and the backslider will come home, and the sinner will come to Christ, and the discouraged will be encouraged, and the down will be lifted, and the bound will be free. For, Lord, one word can change everything. And we give you praise. Oh, we give you praise. We want to make sure you get the glory. Give us a word. Now wait on the Holy Ghost for about 5 minutes here with me, would you? Just begin to pray in the Holy Spirit. You know, the Lord could give you a word of knowledge right now that you'll need Tuesday. So just begin to pray. Pray, wait on the Lord, listen for Him. I don't care what you do, but just wait on the Lord. This is what, okay, look right here, look right here. I want you to think of the first person that God puts on your heart right now. This is business. The first person that God, that somebody's been heavy on your heart all week, maybe all year. I want you to now begin to pray for them. Just begin to pray for them. And perhaps the Lord will give you something to say to them that will reveal what's been going on. Ready? Go ahead. Begin to pray for them right now. Lord, I pray for that individual, Lord, that I'm so concerned for. God, there is a blockage that it's a secret. God, I pray right now, give me the words to say. Give me the understanding and knowledge. Go ahead, begin to pray. I'm telling you, somebody's life is going to be saved this week because of this altar call right now. In the name of Jesus. That's it. Lord, we just seek you tonight. God, we want to hear from you tonight. Lord, we want to hear from you tonight. Lord, speak to somebody online tonight. Speak to their situation. Speak to their life. Let them know that you know. That's it. Beautiful. That's it. Just wait on the Lord for a few minutes. Wait on the Lord for a few minutes. There's somebody in this church you haven't seen for a while. God's going to speak to you, and you're going to go to them this week, and you're going to share what God speaks to you, to them. And it's going to revive them. It's going to inspire them, and you're going to see them here next Sunday in Jesus' name.